morning. We are in the bottom of Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis in the Ein Yaakov Var on page Kufvav, 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line, second word. Minalan de Gadol Mimenu. We said that Nehemiah spoke against Daniel, who was greater than Nehemiah. Mar asks, how do we know that Daniel was greater than Nehemiah? Dichtiv, because it says, V'ra'iti ani Daniel avadi et hamar'eh. It says, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. V'anashim asher hayu imi lo ra'u et hamar'eh. And the people who were with me did not see the vision. V'al charada gdola nafla lehem v'yivrchu v'yichavei. But a great trembling fell upon them, and they ran away and hid. The vision referred to here is the end of Sefer Daniel. And it's a long vision that encompasses all of world history. Daniel saw in great detail the Persian and Greek and Roman kingdoms and the suffering of the Jewish people and the coming of Mashiach, how many kings there would be, when Mashiach would come, and all commentaries who have tried to calculate when Mashiach will come, so far all incorrectly, have all been based on interpreting Psukim in this vision of Daniel. It's an important fact to keep in mind in our discussion in the next couple of days about the nature of this vision. And so the Gemara asks, "My nihu anashim? Who were these people?" Amar Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya says, "Said ve'itema." And if you wish, you could say Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. It was Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Ze Chagai Zecharia Malachi. This was Chagai Zecharia and Malachi. Chagai Zecharia Malachi are the last three Nevi'im. The last book of Nevi'im is the last three books of Nevi'im are Chagai, Zechariah and Malachi, or they're part of Treyasar, which technically is the last. They are the last three prophets in Treyasar, which is the last book of Nevi'im. Turning to Daf Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, page Kuf Zayin in the Ein Yaakov Var, In Hu Adifei Minei, they, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, were greater than he. Ve'ihu Adif Minayhu, and he was greater than they. In Hu Adifei Minei, In Hu Nevi'ei Ve'ihu Lo Navi. They were greater than he was, than Daniel, because they were Nevi'im, and he was not a Navi. V'yu adif minayu, and he was greater than they, t'yu chaza v'yu lo chazu. He saw this vision, and they did not see this vision. The simple reading of this Gemara is that Daniel was not a Navi. Right? It says they were Nevi'im, and he wasn't a Navi. I just told you that Daniel saw all of world history down to the details such as how many kings of Persia there would be and how many kings of Greece there would be, and that Alexander the Great would die young and his kingdom would be divided, and when Mashiach would come. And now the Gemara is telling us that Daniel was not a Navi. We're going to talk about this a lot. We'll see if we get there today or not. Gemara asks, "V'chima achard lo chazu, since they did not see, Chagai Zecharia Malachi did not see, my taima ibaut, why were they frightened?" Now, incidentally, we mentioned this last week. We've sort of forgotten about Nehemiah. We started out with proving that Daniel is greater than Nehemiah. So the connection here is, since Chagai Zecharia Malachi were Nevi'im, and Nehemiah was not a Navi, and Daniel was greater than Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Kal v'chomer, Daniel is greater than Nehemiah. Mara continues, V'chim achard lo chazu ma'itam ma'ibaut, since they did not see, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi did not see the vision, why were they frightened? Af agav yinu chazi mazlayu, midi mazlayu chazi. Even though they did not see anything, their mazel did see. Amar Avina, we'll explain that in a minute. Amar Ravina, Shema Mina, Haiman to be bait. So Ravina says that we learn from here that if a person is frightened, the person has an uneasy feeling. He doesn't know why. Even though he doesn't see, his mazel sees. What should he do? He should move four amos away from where he is. Inami likrei kriyashma, or he should say kriyashma. V'kai b'makom atinofet, if he's in a dirty place, le'imahachi, let him say the following, iza deve tabacha shemina minai, the goat in the slaughterhouse is fatter than I am. That is the Gemara for today. Rashi says, Rashi on page Kuvav, second line of Rashi, my nihu, who were these people? Shayu imo, they were Chagai Zechariah Malachi. V'kivan shehem lo ra'u v'hu ra'a alma gadol mihem. Since he saw and they did not see, he must be greater than they are. V'da ashkechan de Daniel havi chashi fei mechagai Zechariah Malachi. And since we find that Daniel is greater than, is more important than Chagai Zechariah Malachi, davu nevi'ei, who were nevi'im, shmamina de gadol havi menechem v'bet chachalia de lo havi navi. So you see that Daniel was greater than Nehemiah, who was not a Navi. Afil hachi siper alav, and even so, Nehemiah spoke against Daniel. Delo'apke miklal genut harishonim, when Nehemiah said, the governors who came before me, he did not say, except Daniel. Rashi just gives a little historical note. Daniel havi miba'ei ha-gola'i macharash v'masker. Daniel was among those who entered the exile with the elite 11 years before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Nehemiah was from those who went up to Eretz Yisrael a long time afterwards. Now, there is a discussion whether Daniel went back to Eretz Yisrael at the end of the Galus or not. And that will also tie in to the discussion we're going to have about Daniel's status as a Navi. Was then again, Gemara here seems to say pretty straight out, Daniel was not a Navi. It says they were greater than he because they were Nevi'im and he wasn't, and he was greater than they because he saw a vision and they didn't see the vision. Rashi says, next Rashi, Inhu Adife Mine. They were greater than he is. Agav grara ba'al maktani hacha. This is brought in incidentally. Umilta ba'afinav shehi. It's a separate statement. In other words, we wanted to prove that Daniel was greater than Nehemiah. We accomplished that at the end of the previous page when we said that Daniel saw the vision, Chagai Zechariah Malachi didn't, period. That really proves our point. Since Daniel was greater than Chagai Zechariah Malachi, he's greater than Nehemiah, period. So this next part that's on page Kuf Zayin on top of Tzadi Dalad and Aleph in the Gemara didn't have to be here. And Rashi says, Rosh for Yemen Aktuvah, in most versions, it's not here. The fact is that this Gemara is it's a word-for-word reproduction of Gemara in Megillah. And we'll see that in a second. So Rashi seems to be suggesting that this part about they were greater than he was and he in one respect and he was greater than they were in another respect, and then what should you do if you're frightened and you don't know why, that actually belongs in Gemara Megillah. It doesn't belong here. Maybe a scribe who remembered the Gemara Megillah put it in here by accident. The commentary Eine Shmuel says that when a person is afraid suddenly and he doesn't know why, there could be two reasons for it. Could be it's a holy feeling that some holy awakening came to him and he subconsciously realizes he's not fit for this, and therefore that frightens him. Or it could be coming from some unholy feeling, unholy source from Shadim or from whatever the unholy source is. So the Gemara gives three pieces of advice. One is change your place. We find move four amos away. We find this concept in a number of places that, first in Halacha, for example, an Ovel changes his place. We find the idea that if a person is having bad luck, so to speak, person is very sick, could be person other troubles, person could change his name or change his place. And some of Farshim explain that the idea is that a person, even though we say that Jewish people are above the mazel, they're above the stars, so to speak, but that just means we can be above the stars. But every person is born with a decree, a path that he's going to follow unless he breaks out of it. So when a person changes his name, like Avram and Sarah changing their names or having their names changed, because Avram and Sarai couldn't have children, but Avram and Sarah can have children, it's saying, I'm a different person, so that decree that was made on Avram and Sarai doesn't apply to me. Same thing, a person changes his place. He's saying that decree doesn't apply to me. I'm in a different place now. A.A. Shmuel doesn't, for some reason, doesn't mention that option at all. He focuses on the second and third options, which are, the second one was to read Kriya Shema, and the third one was, if you're in a dirty place where you can't read Kriya Shema, then you say, the goat in the slaughterhouse is fatter than I am. So he explains that saying Kriya Shema helps, whether this frightened feeling is coming from a holy source or an unholy source. Because on the one hand, if it's coming from a holy source, he feels some holiness coming upon him. This is all subconscious. He doesn't know why he's afraid. There's some holiness coming upon him, and he subconsciously knows he's not fit for that. But if he says Kriya Shema, Gemara says that one who reads Kriya Shema, his sins are forgiven. Well, now he'll be on a higher level. Okay. Doesn't mean just mean say the words, obviously. It means to meditate on it. Okay. On the other hand, saying Kriya Shema saves a person from harmful, impure forces. That's why we say Kriya Shema before going to sleep. Well, that's one reason why we say Kriya Shema before going to sleep, because nighttime is a time of impure forces that can harm us. So saying Kriya Shema helps whether this feeling is coming from a holy source or an unholy source. Either way, if a person's in a dirty place, then the feeling cannot be coming from a holy source, because holiness doesn't go in dirty places. So therefore, the solution is this incantation against Mazikim. There's some connection between Shadim and goats. And he quotes a Sefer called Sefer HaMefo'ar for Shlomo Molcho, who explains the Sa'ir HaMishtaleach, the goat that's sent away in Yom Kippur. And, I mean, there's a connection. So Shlomo Molcho was a very interesting person.
Goats and Shadim?
Yes. Okay. Right. So Shlomo Molcho, very interesting person. You can look him up. He has Wikipedia biographies both in Hebrew and English. Very, very interesting. But that's an aside. So anyway, that's how the Einei Shmuel on Er Gemara explains these different options. As I said, this Gemara is a verbatim repetition of Gemara Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. So I'll read it again for those who missed it the first time, and read the Rashis, which are different than the Rashis on our Gemara. You could keep the book open because it's going to be word for word the same thing. it does not start with Nehemiah, and how do we know that Daniel was greater? It just starts with the pasuk, quoting the pasuk from Daniel. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. V'anashim asher yu imi lo ra'u et ha-mar'eh, and those who were with me did not see the vision. V'al ha-charda gdola nafla lehem, but a great trembling fell upon them. And again, the vision referred to as at the last few chapters of Sefer Daniel, where he describes all of world history in minute detail. How many kings of Persia there would be, how many kings of Greece there would be, that there would be a king of Greece who would die young and his kingdom would be divided up, a reference to Alexander the Great, and the Romans, and Mashiach coming eventually. So he saw this vision, but they did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they ran away and hid. Man nin hu anashim, who are these people? Am Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, v'itema Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, or if you wish, you could say it was Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, who said, zechagai zechariah malachi. In hu adifei minei, they were greater than he is, v'iu adif minei, and he was greater than they. In hu adifei minei, in hu nevi'e v'iu lav navi. He was greater than they because they were Nevi'im and he is not a Navi. Rashi says in Megillah, Inhu Nevi'e, they were Nevi'im, Sheri Nitnav'uli Yisrael B'shechut Shagadash Baruch Hu, V'hu Lo Nishtach Yisrael Shin Nevi'ud. They were sent, I'm just reading the Rashi in Megillah, they were sent to deliver Nevu'ah to the Jewish people, and Daniel was not sent to deliver Nevuah to Jewish people. Rashi here seems to be saying, not that Daniel wasn't on the level of prophecy, but a prophet, when we use the term prophet, has two meanings. One is a person who achieves the level of prophecy. The second, more common meaning is a person who is an agent of God to deliver a message. Daniel was never sent to deliver a message. The Rambam explains, and we'll see the Rambam in greater detail tomorrow, the Rambam explains that the difference between the books of the Nevi'im, Tanakh, stands for Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. What's the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? Nevi'im were people who were sent to deliver messages, and Ksuvim were people who were not sent. Daniel, according to the Rambam, who holds, unlike Rashi seems to say here, Rambam holds Daniel was not a Navi at all. Daniel had divinely inspired messages that he wrote down, but he was never sent to deliver a message. So Rashi is making a similar distinction here. When the Gemara says, according to Rashi, when the Gemara says Daniel was not a Navi, it does not mean Daniel was not on the level of prophecy. Means Daniel was never sent to deliver a message. He was given messages that he wrote down, and they were incorporated into the third section of Tanakh.
I'm not sure I understand.
God said, God told Yirmiyah, go deliver a message. God told Yeshaya, go deliver a message. God told Moshe Rabbeinu, go deliver a message. Explicitly, it says in the Pesukim. They were sent. God never said to Daniel, go deliver this message. Daniel had visions, and he wrote them down, and the later Chachamim, the Anshei Knesset Gedola, decided this is good stuff to include in Tanakh. There was never a command that's indisputable. Even if we didn't have Rashi and the Rambam, you could look and say for Daniel, God never tells him, go deliver these messages. Doesn't say he has permission. I understand the question. I mean, I'm not sure what's bothering you.
And wrote it down that it's included in Tanakh. Hashem acquiesced that it be written. That it sort of.
Hashem acquiesced with everything. This is early, on Sunday, I was learning in a shiur that I go to, talking about halachas of whether you say Shachianu on a nectarine. Nectarine is made by grafting a peach and a plum. The first nectarine was made in sin. Torah says don't graft different fruits together. Somebody grafted, so can you say Shechianu on something that was made against God's will? And Rav Yaakov Emden says, well, clearly if nectarines grow, God acquiesced. If you would graft a string bean and a pineapple, that's my example, I don't think they would grow. Nothing would grow. I'm not sure. You know more about botany than I do. Okay. But the fact that a nectarine grows means God acquiesced. It was still a sin. Not saying it was a sin for Daniel to write it down. The point is that whether, yes, in the big picture, obviously God acquiesces in everything that happens. The point is God told Yirmiah, I need a messenger. Are you up to the job? And Yirmiah said, not really. And God said, yes, you are. God told Moshe, I need a messenger. Go do it. Moshe said, I don't want to. And Hashem said, go do it anyway. God told Yeshaya, I need a messenger. These are at the beginning of Sefer Yirmiah, the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya. You see explicitly, God called these people and told them, you are my messengers. There's no such thing in Daniel. That's all. Migdal Rus. Migdal Rus is a story. Shmuel HaNavi wrote the story with Ruach HaKodesh, whatever that means. Hopefully, by the end of this week, we'll have a better idea what Ruach HaKodesh means. But Shmuel HaNavi wrote the story. There isn't any explicit message there. It's a story. We learn things from it. The commentaries tell us why it was written. But there's no message from God in Megillas Esther. There's no message from God in Megillas Esther. The commentaries in Midrashim learn messages, but there's no explicit message from God. Apparently not. So back in the Gemara. V'chi me'achar lochazu ma'itam yivitus. Gemara asks again, if they didn't see, why were they afraid? And Gemara says, even though they did not see, their mazel saw. What is their mazel? Rashi in Megillah says, sar shish l'chol adam l'mala. It's the guardian angel, the officer that every person has above. Every single person has a representative up in heaven. And at least in this context, that's what's referred to by mazel. How does that relate to mazel, as we use it in different terms, like the zodiac? It may or may not. Won't be our discussion today. And then the Gemara repeats the same advice about what to do if you're afraid and you don't know why. Either move four amos away or say Kriya Shema, or say the goat in the slaughterhouse is fatter than I am. I mentioned before the concept that Agadata is not placed haphazardly. Agadata always has some connection to where it is in the Gemara. It's there for a reason. Now, Rashi said that many versions of the Gemara, most versions of the Gemara, don't have the discussion of who's greater, of in what respect the Chagai's Chayyim Malachi greater, and in what respect Daniel was greater. If not for Rashi, we might have said that the reason that whole discussion of the relative merits of Daniel, I mean, even Rashi agrees, our Gemara does discuss the greatness of Daniel, just a question of where the sugya should end. The connection to that to our Gemara would seem to be, we've talked about Daniel a lot, and we will talk more about Daniel. Daniel is the prophet of Mashiach and Tchias HaMeisim. The Rambam writes way back when we talked about Tchias HaMeisim, and I read excerpts from the Rambam's Mamar Tchias HaMeisim, the Rambam's essay on Tchias HaMeisim. He noted that the only place Tchias HaMeisim is mentioned explicitly in Tanakh, the Gemara said, how do I know there's Tchias HaMeisim in the Torah? And it brought lots of proofs. But there's only one place in Tanakh where Tchias HaMeisim is mentioned explicitly. It's in Sefer Daniel. Daniel's also the source, as I mentioned before. Daniel's the source, or if you want to calculate when Mashiach's coming, it's in Sefer Daniel. So clearly Daniel is connected. Daniel's an inherent part of our chapter of Gemara, because we're talking about Mashiach and Tchias HaMeisim and the end of days and so on. And that's Daniel's the either prophet or not prophet, as we'll discuss, of that whole section. The Bnei Saskar, who, besides being a great Hasidic Rebbe, was a great Talmud Chacham and wrote many Svarim, including some commentaries on Gemara. So in his commentary on Megillah, he mentions this idea. I mentioned this in a previous year, I said that I thought it was from Rav Tzadok, but I couldn't find it in the writings of Rav Tzadok, which doesn't mean it's not there. It just means I couldn't find it. But Bnei Saschar came a couple generations before Rav Tzadok. Tzadok was also a great Hasidic Rebbe, one of the great philosophers of Hasidus. Bnei Saschar was a couple generations before that. He writes, a person who has eyes in his head will see that in every place the Torah is complete, everything is connected to what's next to it. He's expressing this idea that, it's a fancy way of saying, the Agadita is where it is for a reason. So that's a Megillah Daf Beis, he says that. Megillah Daf Gimel, in our Gemara, he says, why is this Gemara here in Megillah? Now, we know that what distinguished the miracle of Purim from other miracles is that it was a hidden miracle. It was a new way of Hashem dealing with the Jewish people through hidden miracles. There are many open miracles in Tanakh that we don't have holidays because of. So he mentions idea which you're probably familiar with, that when there are miracles, Chazal could sense whether this is a miracle that just happened or a miracle that changed the world and that will reawaken in some way every year. And it's only those miracles that had some lasting impact that we could feel that holy force again every year that they made holidays for. Right. And then he explains why was it a hidden miracle? Because God was changing how he deals with the world. And this is reflected in our Gemara, which compares Daniel with Chagai Zechariah Malachi. What is a prophet? A prophet is somebody who sees great visions and is sent to deliver them. This is the very end of the era of prophecy. Chagai Zechariah Malachi, as I mentioned, are the last prophets. Daniel lived the same time. It's the end of the era of prophecy. So he says, prophecy is weaker. There are some people who see great visions, like Daniel, who saw very great visions, but was not sent to deliver them. There are other people who were sent to deliver visions that they saw, like Chagai Zechariah Malachi, but they didn't see the really great visions because it's the end of the era of prophecy. It's kind of petering out, and it's weakened. And that's why our Gemara having this Gemara in Megillah ties in to the idea of Purim being a hidden miracle. It's God is going into hiding at this era, and therefore prophecy is becoming weaker. As I mentioned, perhaps seems very logical to say that the reason this Gemara is also in our chapter in Sanhedrin is simply because Daniel is all about the subjects that we're talking about Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim. So as we saw, the simple reading of the Gemara is that Daniel was not a prophet. Rashi, however, qualifies that. He says, when we say that Daniel was not a prophet, we mean he was not sent with to deliver prophecy. That doesn't mean he wasn't on the level of prophets. Gemara later in Masechet Megillah, Daf Yud Daled, says, Tanur Rabbanan, Memchet Nevi'im V'Zayin Nevi'ot Sh'nitnavu Ulam L'Yisrael. There were 48 prophets, male prophets, and 7 female prophets, who prophesied for the Jewish people. They didn't subtract from the Torah. They didn't add to the Torah. The Gemara then asks, "Vetu Leika? Are there not more than 48 male prophets and 7 female prophets?" It says, "V'aktiv v'yi ish echad min Ramatayin Sofim." There was a man from Ramatayin Sofim, referring to the father of Shmuel HaNavi. He was one of 200 prophets in that time period alone. That's more than 55. 200 is more than 55. Some more answers. Gemara says there were actually at least 1.2 million prophets in Jewish history. However, Nevuah Shenitzchal Zerot Nichtava, that prophecies that were needed for the future were written down. Those that were not needed for the future were not written down. So when the Gemara says there were 48 male prophets, 7 female prophets, it's talking about those who had lasting messages. Prophets also did other things, like when Shaul's father lost his donkeys, Shaul went to a prophet, Shmuel, to ask where the donkeys were. Prophets were people who could see things. They could also see great spiritual things and deliver them to their own generations, but they might not have had lasting messages, unlike the books of the prophets that we have that have lasting messages. Who were the 48 prophets? Mar never tells us. Mar does tell us who the 7 prophetesses were. When we get to Masachet Megillah, we can discuss that. But Mar never tells us who the 48 prophets were. Rashi has a list, and at the end, Rashi lists in the list Daniel, and then at the end he says, but in the Gemara before we said Daniel was not a Navi, so take out Daniel and add in Shmaya. And Rashi says, you'll note my list only has 46 people. I don't know who the other two were. There are many Nevi'im mentioned in passing in Tanakh, but we don't necessarily know. Rashi says, I'm not sure which 48 to count. So Rashi here seems to have changed his mind about Daniel being a prophet. He says that take Daniel out of the list. That's how commentaries say that Rashi seems to have changed his mind. With all due respect, I'm not sure why. Rashi before only said Daniel was on the level of a prophet, but wasn't sent to deliver a message. So Rashi is only changing his mind from including Daniel on the list. Doesn't mean Daniel wasn't a prophet. There's a medrash called Seder Olam Rabbah, written by Tana Rabbi Yossi, student of Rabbi Akiva. It has a list of the prophets, and it includes in a list of the prophets Daniel Ish Hamudot. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, even though the Gemara said that Daniel was not a prophet, Rashi explained that it just means Daniel wasn't sent with a message. That comment's also a little difficult to understand. If the Medrash here is listing prophets who are sent with a message, well, Daniel is not one of them, according to Rashi. So then why would he be in this list?
I didn't really understand. Oh, the bad set.
We don't learn Tanakh enough. I'm not as familiar with Tanakh as I should be. Chances are you're not either. Open up Sefer Yirmiyah, open up Sefer Yeshaya, open up Sefer Shmos. You'll see what it means that a prophet is sent. God says, go, deliver this message. Yechezkel, also, constantly being sent to deliver messages. That's all. Yonah sent to deliver a message. It says God spoke to him. And Daniel doesn't say anywhere in Daniel that God spoke to him. It does say angel spoke to him. And we'll discuss that further tomorrow, the possible difference. In any event, Rashi and the Rambam both say you see a clear difference between prophets being sent and Daniel, who just wrote down stories. The commentary on our Gemara in Sanhedrin, Be'er Sheva, he says on Ihu Lav Navi, Daniel was not a Navi. Lav Lameimer Shloya Navi called. Doesn't mean he wasn't a Navi. Ela Shloya Navi Chashuv Kukach Mo Chagai Zchari Malachi. He interprets the Gemara, our Gemara, to mean that when the Gemara says Chagai Zchari Malachi were Nevi'im, that Daniel was not a Navi, it simply means he was not on the level of Chagai Zchari Malachi. And he brings the Rashi and Megillah as a proof that they were sent to deliver messages and he was never sent to deliver a message. So according to the Be'er Sheva, Chagai Zchari Malachi were greater than Daniel. Maral says exactly the opposite, as does the Abarbanel that we will discuss at length probably on Thursday. Maral is discussing a number of Gemaras. Maran Baba Kama says, when dogs are barking, the Malach HaMavis is in town. When Eliyahu HaNavi When the dogs are silent, Eliyahu HaNavi is in town. When dogs are barking, the Malach HaMavis is in town. When dogs are silent, Eliyahu HaNavi is in town. Dogs know about Malach HaMavis and Eliyahu HaNavi? We find by Makas Bechoros, Hashem told Moshe, no dog will bark. Commentaries say that they tie this into this Gemara. The Makas Bechoros, the plague of the firstborn, was Hashem himself, not the Malach HaMavis. And in order that there be no doubt, the dogs didn't bark. Because dogs barking is a sign of the Malach HaMavis being around. Maral says, people are very bothered by this Gemara. Dogs know about the Malach HaMavis. So first he says something, which is an important principle to remember. Maral says, the fact that you never heard of something is not akasha. You can't say, how can that be? I never heard of that. How can that be? I never learned that. That's not akasha. There are lots of things you never learned. Applies to me too. I'm just quoting the Maral. Okay. That's not a basis for a question. How can that be? I never learned that. Never heard that. Okay. So after making that point, Maral explains the idea. I don't think there is anyone here who has a dog. I know there's a cat person here. So you definitely will. You have a dog? Oh, well, sorry. Maral says, there is no creature lower than a dog. And the proof is, Arabs hold like this, by the way. We've lost this sensitivity. But we find in Tanakh that when you want to insult someone, you call him a dog. We find that when somebody was insulted, he said, what do you think? I'm the head of the dogs? Harosh Kelevanochi, am I the head of the dogs? You see, dogs and Arabs to this day, there's no greater insult. Or like one of the top three insults to an Arab is to call him a dog. Maral says that there are some spiritual forces that are too lowly for man to feel. We talked about this before, that man is greater than angels. Man is so great, there are things man cannot sense. Only lower creatures can sense them. So when the Malach HaMavis is nearby, dogs can sense it. Man is too great to be aware. He says that's why when the angels came to Avram, the Torah calls them men. When they came to Lot, the Torah calls them angels. Lot was on a lower level. Lot was more aware that they were angels. Now, exactly what is he aware of? And he offered them food. He offered them beds. So exactly what was he aware of? Discussion for another time. But Lot was more conscious of these people being angels, of these things being angels, than Avram was. Because there's some things, some spiritual things that you have to be on a lower level to sense. Daniel was so great that he was not afraid of his vision. Only the people on the lower level, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, were frightened by the vision. So exactly the opposite of Beersheba. According to Beersheba, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi were greater than Daniel. They were prophets and he wasn't, according to the Gemara. According to the Maral, it's exactly the opposite. The reason Daniel was not afraid was because he was so much greater. He actually didn't sense the, call it negative energy or whatever, that there was to be afraid of.
How does that fit in with the David at the end, where he seems to know that the Malach HaMavis was a rat?
That's because he sinned. He sinned by taking a census. There was a plague. David took a census, which was a sin. There was a plague, and he saw the Malach HaMavis. So he was on a lower level then. Doesn't say that. Says, I know I'm going to die. People said, you can know when they're going to die. It has nothing to do with seeing the Malach HaMavis. They know when their time is up. It's not just David HaMelech. It's even in contemporary times. Great tzaddikim know when their time is up. They tell a story. I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it could be a true story, as Rabbi Wein says. As they say, Rabbi Wein says, I never heard him say it. It doesn't matter if it happened. It just matters if it could have happened. The previous Ger Rebbe, known as the Pnei Menachem, He never said goodbye to his wife. He would say goodnight. He would say, see you in the morning. He died in his sleep. And before he went to sleep, he said goodbye to his wife. Strange thing. But obviously he sensed something. He may not have consciously known I'm dying. But it's not, that doesn't mean he sensed the Malach HaMavet. There is, earlier in Sefer Shmuel, where David saw the Malach HaMavet. That's because there was a plague because David sinned. So that fits in perfectly. Tomorrow, we will see the Rambam's view about Daniel. And in order to get there, we will see a lot about what the Rambam says about prophecy in general. And the day after that, we will see what the Barbanel has to say about this subject. He will disagree very strongly with the Rambam's characterization of Daniel.